Today is found in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. We left off speaking to you last week how that Korah and a number of other Levites stood up against Moses and against Aaron, seeking the priesthood. And we found that Moses, he pleaded with them that they should wait until tomorrow. They should all bring their censers, and they should put incense in it and put fire from the altar on it. And then tomorrow God would reveal who was holy and who was not. These people then, Korah and his company, agreed to do this. But we find Moses speaking to them and saying, do you count it a small thing, ye Levites, that God has separated you from all the other tribes and given unto you that position that you can minister unto the congregation before the Lord? Is it a small thing to use people? And now you are not only seeking the priesthood, but you are rebelling against God. These people, the Levitical tribe, have been separated by God to this wonderful work. They, of all the tribes, were permitted to do this. In David's time, he separated them into three companies. The first company, they helped the high priest to sacrifice the animals that they offered up unto God. The second group were the choir. They sang in the temple. And the third group, they gathered the money together and kept the revenues and kept the tabernacle or the temple clean. These people then, they were in this respect a chosen tribe by God to do this work. And now these men, they weren't satisfied with just being this. They wanted to be the high priest too. And therefore Moses spake to them in this way. And they were then to bring their censers, and they were to come before the Lord on the morrow. A censer was a metal plate. In this chapter, they are brass. But when the temple was built, they were made of gold. This censer, they took fire from off the altar, and they put incense on this fire. Incense was something that God had ordained and that no one else was permitted to make. It was made of three different juices of trees. And God gave this prescription unto the people, and they were to use this incense only in the temple. Incense is a type of prayer and supplication arising up unto God. This incense had a very fragrant smell to it, and no one was permitted to make it, and if they did, well, they were to be cut off. This was the commandment of God. And now we find that on the morrow, Korah and his company, 250 men with their censers, and Aaron likewise, came up against Moses and Aaron to the tabernacle. In the meantime, it seems, when we read this, that Korah, who had went out through the congregation and stirred up all the people and got them all rebellious, and they all came behind him to see what it would lead to. The whole congregation then came up against Moses and Aaron at the tabernacle, with Korah at their head. It seems that Korah had went away from the other 250 men who were offering incense and had stirred these people all up. So here then they were waiting to see what would take place. And now immediately the glory of God came down in the front of the people in the cloud. Korah probably thought he sure was going to succeed. He sure was going to probably even kill Moses and Aaron, and he was going to become the high priest. This was the issue of it. That's what Korah thought would take place. But when God appeared, he put an awe upon these people. And he came down, and Moses and Aaron, they immediately fell on their faces before him, and he said unto them, separate yourselves from this company, from this congregation, and I will consume them in a moment. Oh, God was very angry. God was provoked, and God wanted to consume these people in a minute. How just it would have been of God to do so. But we find that Moses and Aaron did not separate themselves. It was against them that all this rebellious multitude had come up. And now, if they wanted to have revenge on them, they could have easily had said, go ahead, Lord, do what you intend to do. But they didn't. No, they were men that loved these people, and therefore they fell on their faces, and they began to plead with God that he would not execute these people and send forth his wrath amongst them. And Moses, he turned the wrath of God away from these people. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, go up and speak to the people and tell them to get up from around the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Speak and warn to these people lest they be consumed in their sins. How good of God, my hearers. He could have easily have consumed them, but now he speaks through the mouth of Moses and warns these people to separate themselves from these wicked men lest they be consumed in their sins. I see in this, my hearers, the goodness and the kindness of God over a multitude of people who were rebellious and who deserved God's wrath and anger. I see in this the goodness of God warning the people. In this, my hearers, and we likewise see how that God speaks in and through his servants to multitudes of people who are rebellious, who have sinned greatly against God, and who deserve his wrath and his anger. And he warns, and he entreats, and he pleads, forsake your sins, turn away from your evil ways, lest ye perish in your sins. And how do the most people receive this? They received this warning just as these two men, Dathan and Abiram, received it. But we read that Moses, he sent word to them that they should come up. And these two men, they refused to come up. They said, we will not come up. They said, we have been brought out of a country that flowed with milk and honey. Thou hast led us out of a land that flowed with milk and honey, and thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, and hath not given us an inheritance in the land, nor vines or vineyards therein. But wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. This was nothing else but obstinate rebellion against the commandment of Moses. These people, Dathan and Abiram, are a type of each and every one of us by nature. God speaking to us that we should come up to him, forsake the world and every form of friend. He promises us that if we confess our sins and forsake them, that he will freely forgive them. And he promises us an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away in heaven above. And as Dathan and Abiram, they refuse to come up, so we by nature refuse to listen to the word of God. Refuse to listen to the warning that he sends us, that if we continue on, we will be consumed in our sins. All my hearers, may I, as a feeble instrument in the hand of God, warn you, oh, turn ye, before it will be forever too late. For God speaks yet in love to your souls. He has no delight in your death and your destruction. He proclaims from heaven that he is willing to forgive the greatest of sinners. Turn ye, he says, wherefore will ye die? Oh, how often have you heard this, my hearers? And what have you done with it? As Dathan and Abiram, you have rejected it. You have turned away from it. You've turned a deaf ear to it. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy bring it home to your heart and bring you upon your knees, seeking an interest in Jesus, in his blood, and in his righteousness, in which alone you will be saved for time and eternity. And Moses, when he heard these men speaking this way, he became very wroth. And God was wroth too. Now these men, they rejected Moses and Aaron as their leader. They wouldn't take any more of his commands or his laws or obey him. And they made him out to be a hypocrite, a liar, a cheat, a deceiver. And they said as much, you brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey. You promised us that we would have a land flowing with milk and honey. We would have vineyards and we would have everything that was wonderful in that land, and we have not. What have we got? We only got this wilderness. Now, this is the way they answered Moses. And how deceiving were these people in their answers? Because when they were down in the land of Egypt, but then God had visited that land with its plagues. He had made that land desolate. These people, they had been under the oppression of the Egyptians, and they had been crying to God that he would bring them out. They forgot all about this. They had no eye for what God had done for them. He had sent Moses to them, and Moses had brought them by the guidance of God into this wilderness where they were at the present time. And they had seen many of God's miracles. And here now, they said that they had been brought out of the land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, Moses was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a deceiver. He was not true. And Moses became angry. And Moses says to God, Lord, respect not their offering, for I have not taken an ass from them, and I have hurt none of them. All my hearers, you know, Moses was their mediator. He was the only one that had intercession with God. And when Moses begins to pray against the people, woe be unto that people. He said to God, respect not their offering. You will always find that Moses always went on his knees. He fell on his face before God and pleaded with God for the people. But here he says, respect not their offering. And God heard this prayer of Moses. There was an answer coming, an answer in judgment, an answer in anger. Oh, what an awful thing it is. When God gives men, godly men, to pray in this way, and my hearers, we find that God was ready to consume these people. Had it not been for Moses and Aaron, he most certainly would have consumed them in a moment. And therefore he sends this warning to them, to those people that had come up behind Korah, many of them out of curiosity, many not with the intention that Korah had. They came to see what was going to take place. And all my hearers, I see in this, the word of God says, follow not a multitude to do evil. Oh, they were in a position where they would have been consumed had it not been for Moses and Aaron. And this teaches us likewise not to follow a multitude, to go to places where God is dishonored, where sin reigns in a great height. Oh, how many visit places of amusement, how many visit places, and this is true, where God is dishonored even in the preaching of his word. In this chapter, it appears that Korah and his company had built a tabernacle. And in this tabernacle, they had been having meetings in defiance against Moses and Aaron, whom God had placed over them. And therefore, God spake and warned the people to get up from around this tabernacle, lest they would be consumed in their sins. And let me entreat you, my hearers, never go into a tabernacle where God is not honored and glorified in the preaching of his precious word. For you never know what God might do. He might lead you to be deceived, taken away by error, and you perish in the end. Or may you seek the good old way. Seek the paths that lead to glory above. Seek to walk in the way of our fathers. And may God bless your immortal souls and not be deceived in the end. And now, my hearers, Moses went up to the people, and all the elders of Israel went behind him. And he spake to the people and told them, get up from around the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And the people, they listened. They did what Moses said. And oh, how I would wish that you would do as I'm trying to teach you a little bit. That you would get on your knees, and that you would seek God while he is yet to be found. Or that you would flee from all your sinful ways and find forgiveness in the precious blood of Jesus. And my hearers, Moses, he went to Dathan and Abiram, who stood in their tents. They didn't try to get away. They didn't scramble out of the way like the other people did. They were defiant. They were impudent. They as much as said, well, we'll see what's going to happen to us. There they stood. And Moses went to them, and he spake to them and said unto them, if yous men die the common death of all people, or the natural death of all men, then God hath not sent me. Oh, how sure Moses was of himself. How sure he was that God had sent him. What faith this man had in the calling that he had, in the work that he was doing, that it was not of himself as they thought, but that God had sent him. And therefore he spake in this way in faith, and said unto them, but if God do something new, if the earth open its mouth, and all yous men sink down into the pit, all that I pertain unto you, then it will be seen that I have not done these things of my own mind and of my own will, but that God has sent me. And he had just ended speaking, my hearers. How wonderful this is. It appears that God had revealed unto him what he was going to do, for he never would have spoken in this way. And he no more than had the words out of his mouth, and we find the earth opened up. It split open. For that God who created the earth caused the earth to open up. And these men with their wives and with their children and all that appertained unto them, they tumbled headlong down into this pit. The open earth. Oh, picture in your mind the people that were round about them. How they must have scrambled and how they must have jumped to get out of the way, lest they would fall in and be consumed. All of them men, Dathan and Abiram and their families, they all sunk down into this cavity that God had made. All my hearers, if you and I were there, and we would hear nothing else but yelling and shrieking and crying for these people they sunk down alive. Right down into the grave, or right down into hell. They went down, just like Pharaoh, he sank like lead in the mighty waters. And so these people, they sank like lead in this open cavity. And the earth covered them up, and they perished from out of the midst of the congregation. And my hearers, these 250 men that were with Korah, who were burning incense before the Lord, these pretenders, these hypocrites, a fire come out from the Lord and consumed every one of these men. Just one flash of fire, and they were gone. There was no bodies left. There was nothing to be buried. There was nothing but ashes. They were burned immediately. All my hearers, the word of God says, our God is a consuming fire. And how true it was here, he revealed himself as such. Who can dwell with eternal burnings? Or who can abide when once his anger is aroused? Oh, my hearers, these people, fortunately, that were round about this tabernacle, escaped this punishment. But they seen the power, the majesty, the glory of God in what he did. Oh, how he revealed unto them who he had called, who he had sent, by destroying them that rose up against him and against Moses and Aaron. And my hearers, my thoughts are running to a day that's going to be similar to this day. Now there's a day coming when this earth and all that is therein is going to be burnt up, when the elements shall burn with fervent heat, and when God will consume this earth. For he will create a new earth and a new heaven in which righteousness shall dwell. And in that great and notable day, when that shall take place, oh, what shrieks, oh, what cries, what yells, what a scrambling, what a running to and fro to escape the just wrath and the anger of God in that day will take place. Picture it in your minds, my hearers. Do you believe it's coming? It's the word of God. It's hastening. We know not how soon it may come. It's going to come as a thief in the night. And you and I are going to experience this, my hearers. Whether we will be alive yet or not is a question I can't answer. But just as sure as I'm standing here, it's coming. And how will you appear in that great day? Will you be one that's running hither and thither, trying to escape the wrath of God, crying to the mountains to fall on you for the face of him that sitteth upon the throne? Let me entreat you for your own soul's sake, or seek an interest in this judge, this great and glorious Jesus who's coming in that day to reveal that he reigns in heaven and upon the earth. Another thought strikes me, 250 men offering up incense, pretenders, hypocrites, standing, worshiping God in this way. Oh, how many there will be in that day. In a similar way, preaching the word, offering up prayer unto God. Hypocrites, pretenders, never called, never sent, never anointed, never born again. Oh, what a day that will be for such poor creatures. Lord, I would offer up a little prayer for myself that I may not be found in that day doing this work as I'm doing, and then to find just as they did. Oh, they were consumed, and so will each and every one be cast down into the pit of hell forever and ever, who have been but pretenders, who have been but mockers, who have been but self-seekers, who have not sought the glory of God, and sought with a feeling heart the salvation of poor, immortal souls. Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers, when God will judge the earth in righteousness, and no one will be able to escape his just judgment. For these people, they perished from out of the midst of the congregation. And my hearers, God commanded Eleazar to gather the censers of these 250 men that had been offering up incense unto God. He was commanded to gather that and to make broad plates of this metal and to lay the altar with the covering of these broad plates, which would be a sign and a memorial unto the children of Israel that no person who was not of the seed of Abraham should come near unto the Lord to offer up incense, lest they become like Korah. Oh, my hearers, I am afraid there are many that are not of that spiritual seed of our heavenly Aaron that is at the right hand of the Father, and who are in this way laboring in this world here below, teaching, attempting in their own feeble way to explain the word of God, misleading blind leaders. Oh, how many there are, my hearers, that are in this work and have never a sign, never a token that God is with them. Moses and Aaron had a very wonderful sign that God had placed them in their office and that he was with them. And I cannot understand in my own feeble way how that any man would pretend to be a minister of the gospel and go on year after year laboring in this way without any sign, without any token that God was with him, that God had sent him, that God had called him to the work that he was in. I can't understand, but there are. People do it and go on and perish in doing it too. Of these 250 men, they perished likewise. And now God spoke in this way to the people of Israel, that every time they seen this altar, and with this covering, it was a reminder to them what had taken place with Korah. Oh, no man pretend to be somebody that he is not. And no man pretend to be a priest if he is not of the seed of Aaron. And my hearers, and we find the very next day, the next day, after all this had taken place, and then the multitude of the congregation rose up against Moses and Aaron again, and came unto him and said, he hath killed the people of the Lord. They accused Moses and Aaron of killing the people of the Lord. If there ever was a lie, if there ever was said anything that was wrong, it was this. Why, these men, they had been up in arms against God, and he had consumed them with the fire of his wrath. And now they blame Moses and Aaron for this. You know why they blamed them? The commentary says, because maybe they didn't pray for them. If they had prayed now for these men, they wouldn't have been burnt to death. But because they didn't pray for them, therefore they were the cause that these men had been killed. My hearers, it was God's just wrath and anger that consumed these men. It was not Moses or Aaron's fault. But they said, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." You see, the congregation still believed that they were the people of the Lord, even after God had consumed them. There are many that think they are the people of the Lord, and many give themselves out to be such, and many shall, my hearers, I am afraid, be consumed likewise, just as these men were consumed. Oh, there are so many firm Christians in the days in which we live. Meet them on the streets, talk to them once. They believe in Jesus, they're going to be with Jesus. They're going to heaven when they die. Follow their lives, they live like the world. They live like the devil, I would say. They're not any different than anybody else. They can do everything that's sinful and evil, and it's nothing wrong by them, and still they're going to heaven. Pretenders, my hearers, who will be consumed by the wrath and the just anger of God in the great day of accounts. And Aaron rose up against God and against Moses here again. You would think that these people would learn a lesson. They hadn't learned any lesson. They became angry again. Thinking of this, I thought, are they any different than we are? I had to say no. Let me give you a little explanation. How many of you that are listening to me have lost? Maybe you lost money. Maybe you lost your position. You're standing in life. You had to come down. Maybe you lost your wife. You lost your husband. Maybe you lost a dear child, an infant. Maybe you lost a son or a daughter. And it may be that they were sick. You were praying, you were pleading, that God would spare them. And over and against all your prayers and all your pleadings, it pleased God to take whoever it was away. Let me ask you, did you fall under it? Did you say, well, that was God's will? He was just, he was righteous, he was holy in doing so? Or did all nature rise up, as it does? Oh, my ears, I know what I'm talking about. When something like this takes place with us, we begin to look around us. And we see people that don't go to church. We see people that don't pray. They don't read the Bible. They don't care about nothing. They live for the world. They live for the flesh. And they continue to live. They're healthy. They're well. And our loved one was taken away. Can we take it? I'm afraid not, my hearers. If you have the same sort of a nature as I have, you stand up against God inside, unless God brings you under. Seeing this, we aren't any different than these people. They had just experienced one of the worst judgments that had come upon them, and the next day, there they are. They're rebelling again against God. What did they need? Heavier judgments. And believe me, I'm speaking the truth. You may have went through something and you're not agreeing with God in it. He may have another thing ready for you. He may bring heavier judgments upon you. And if he does, I hope it may be in love. I hope that it may be to lead you to him. Now, these people, they stood there, defiant. And God came down again. In the cloud he appeared, and he spake unto Moses and Aaron. Get to one side. Let me consume this congregation in a moment. Oh, God was angry again. And now we find Moses and Aaron falling upon their faces before God, just as they always did, but it didn't go this time. Before, they always found access. Before, they had an answer. But you don't read that they got an answer this time. They began to plead with God that he wouldn't destroy the congregation. But it appears that Moses found no access. He arose and he looked, and he seen the people falling dead. By the hundreds, by the thousands, the people were falling over and dying immediately. Oh, God's wrath had went out in the midst of the congregation. He had sent a plague amongst them. The Bible doesn't say what plague it was. It must have been a fatal disease which took their life in a very few moments. For they were dying by the hundreds and by the thousands. And Moses commanded Aaron to get his censer, to go to the altar, to take fire from off the altar, and take incense with you, and offer an atonement for the people. My hearers, you marvel at these men, for they were the subjects against whom the people were rebelling, and they were standing up against them. And here they were, in love for these people, that they would plead to God that he wouldn't do with them as they deserved. But now God was bringing this plague upon them, and so many people died. And God gave Moses this instruction to Aaron, that he should take his censer, put fire on it, and take incense in his other hand, and go into the midst of the congregation and offer an atonement for the people. For the plague is begun. Or just picture this man Aaron. And they were all against him. They were right now even up against him. They didn't want him to be the high priest. They wanted him out of the way. But he, who had been chosen by God, who had been placed in that position, who had so much love for these people, he went and got his censer. He went and got fire, and he took incense in his hand. And he ran, this old man, he was an old man already, he was 100 and some years of age, he ran into the midst of the congregation because it was haste, it was necessary. And he offered an atonement. He took this brazen censer that he had and fire on it, and he took the incense and he poured the incense on the fire. And this fragrant smell went up unto God. And God accepted it, and the plague was stayed. He stood in the midst of the dead and of the living, and he made an atonement for the people. Oh, what a wonderful man was Aaron. Considering what he could have done, he could have said, well, let him die. But no, in all honesty to the office that God had called him to, he obeyed. And when he went, then he was accepted, and God stopped the plague. And this man, Aaron, is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. My dear hearers, the wrath of God has gone out against sin in this world. It's revealed in the law, and it's revealed in every person that dies. Death is the consequence of sin, and every one of us must die. And now God has sent his dear Son into this world, and he has made a complete atonement by his sacrifice, by his death, by his resurrection. He has atoned for sin. And this is so sweet unto that God in heaven above, for that he received this atonement yet to this day. For he is at the right hand of God, interceding for sinners. He stands even in our midst at this present time, between the dead and the living, pleading that you would come to him, and that you would receive him, and that you would find that he is willing to forgive the greatest of sinners. Ah, may I entreat you to flee to him so that you may be safe for time and eternity. That concludes our lesson for today. Our time is gone.